Blog Talk Radio.
In this music, then we'll have to unload. Weddings cost a grip, and we got life to grow. Power phrases make all these walls crumble. Got money to make and knowledge by the bundles. We represent the light in the deepest dark jungle. G Vision, baby, and we got to stay humble.
I tried to put it off, but I can't. It's on me. Tried to blame the other man, but I can't. It's on me. If I fail without a plan, guess what? It's on me. You know, it's on me. Say what? It's on me. I tried to put it off, but I can't. It's on me. Tried to blame the other man.
Hello everyone, welcome to the flip side today. I'm your co-host Zion Porter.
And I'm your co-host, Abdul Porter.
And I'm your moderator, Mrs. Rashida Jabbar. And welcome to the flip side. Wow, fellas, we have a wonderful, wonderful show today. We have a special guest that's going to be joining us very shortly, a Sister Rabia Ahmed from the organization SMART Inc. That's S.M.A.R.T.Inc. And that stands for Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And we want to check with our host, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, to make sure that we're on the same page tonight because we were having some difficulties. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we just wanted to make sure. Okay, great. Welcome, Jacqueline, as well. This is Jacqueline Tella Adams. This is with Master Griot Radio, as well as she's my marketing director for J&R Grassroots and The Flip Side. And we want to send our appreciations out. And we also, while we're waiting on Rabia, we just want to mention a few things. That school is on its way out, so we want to congratulate our graduates graduating from high school, elementary school, middle school, college. We want to congratulate all of you on your achievements and continue to succeed and excel. Now, what we want to cover this today, we want to send a few shout-outs to a few people because a little later on in the segment at 9 o'clock, between 9 and 9:30, we're going to cover a topic, which the boys is not going to be including on this topic, about reentry and incarceration. And it's going to be more or less on a personal note, so you really want to tune into this. This is going to be a real exciting, interesting dialogue from a personal experience and what's going on in our judicial system with our young men and women. Okay. Zain, how has school been for you this year? Want to talk about that while we're waiting on our guests?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. So what kind of achievements do you think that you made this year?
New friends.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about some new places.
New places, such as?
Like, what's it called?
Put you on the spot, huh?
Yeah.
Did you learn in reference to other countries?
Yeah.
Where did you go this year? Did you go anywhere special? To see anything special? I knew that next year you're going to Canada. Your school is taking you to Canada next year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then in the eighth grade, you guys go to the Bahamas, right?
Yes.
That's going to be pretty good. You see, you're pretty creeped out. Why?
Okay, I'm going to pack a bunch of stuff. I'm going to go on eBay and buy a bunch of stuff.
Okay, can't hear you. You're going to have to go on eBay and buy a bunch of stuff. Oh, wow. Okay, so Abdul, what about yourself? How was school for you this year?
It's been good.
A little rough roads.
Yeah.
A little couple of rough roads for you?
Yeah, I had a little off.
A little off?
A little off sometimes, off and on.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, some achievements I made was honor roll, mm-hmm. just like Zion said, new friends,
mm-hmm.
Studied a lot of countries.
Right.
Like Nigeria. We were supposed to study Haiti, but we didn't quite get to that. Nigeria. We studied a little bit about Africa, some countries in there,
mm-hmm.
and it's been pretty good.
So you all are at the Global Leadership Academy Charter School, and this year was the first year at the new state-of-the-art school. What did you think about it?
It was awesome.
Awesome?
It was so cool.
What do you have in the school that is so unique, different from the old school? Because, you know, everyone listening, their school burnt down, so they had to rebuild the school and... It's really beautiful. Tell us some of the things that's in your school.
Laptops, new desktops, Windows 7, elevators, better lunches,
mm-hmm.
fresh made from scratch, new tables, better schoolyard playground.
Wow. Abdul?
Well, first, we have a library full of books and computers. And just about every special teacher has their own classroom, a room that they can teach in, so they won't have to come to our own classroom like we had to do last year and the year before that and the year before that. And we also, some classrooms have their own computers, like in mine.
You have them at your desk, your computer right at your desk?
Yes, right on top of it.
Wow, right on top of the desk. That's great.
Yes.
That's great. I see when I walk into school, I see that they have the weather showing at different cities and things of that nature.
Bug.
The weather bug.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great. Well, I want to...
That They also have different times of the cities.
Well, great. And I do want to say that congratulations to both of you, that your school is over next week, but you all have passed to the next grade. Congratulations. No summer school. Congratulations. you know, passing with honors, and I'm very proud of you brothers. That's really great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And yesterday and today, I had to take my MSAs. Today in reading, I got an A.
Wow.
And in math, I got a B.
Woohoo! Congratulations, Abdul.
That counts in three test scores for your main grade, your report card.
All right.
And when I had to do my G grade about last week, I passed. Great.
Great. Woo!
And I passed my test today with great.
Okay. Go ahead. Great achievements. Did you say it's tiring?
Yes, that's why I was tired when I came home.
Yes, yes. Well, when you have to make the brain work, sometimes you get tired. I'm very proud of you, brothers. Let's check and see if our guests are on the line. Is Rabia with us yet? Okay. All right, we'll wait a few minutes because we have more to talk about while we're waiting on Sister Rabia. What I would like to do is that I would like to give out the number. One of you young men would like to give out the number to call in to the flip side.
Flip side number to call in is 1-646-716-7994.
Would you like to repeat it?
And I will repeat it again. 1-646-716-7994.
Okay, now we're going to be listening out for you all to call in and speak to our young advocates. And once again, as I said before, we want you to continue to tune in because we have a topic, as we know, that we speak grown folk talk at 9 o'clock, okay? And Zion Abdul is going to leave us a little early tonight. They want to get ready for school tomorrow, so they want to leave a little early. As you said, you heard them say they have tests that they have to do. I want to recognize a young man that I met about a month ago.
Yeah.
Okay, about a month ago. And he is a brother that is from Nigeria. And he is a phenomenal brother that does a lot of work for humanitarian efforts across the world and the world police up in Staten Island, New York, as well. And his name is Pastor Favor Akidosa. And I'm hoping that I pronounced his name correctly. And he's the senior pastor with the World Palace. And that's in Staten Island, New York, at 541 Bay Street. I just wanted to give a shout out to him because he's going to be coming on the show. Hopefully, we can get him on before. Because we are going to be taking a break for the summer. We have one more show to do, and then the boys are going to take a break. And we would definitely like to get him on to speak about the wonderful work that he's doing as well. I also want to mention one of the members of an organization that we started called the NECC. And this is a young man who has a auto mechanic school by the name of, his name is Sherman, and he's the president and CEO. His school is located at 7446 Ogans Avenue, right here in Philadelphia, and the zip is 19138. That is the Pat School, and it's an auto mechanic school where it teaches you crafts and trades of the auto mechanic industry and also grants you licensing, and the brother helps to prepare you for the auto mechanic world for gainful employment. Now, that number is 215-381-9403. Again, that is Pat School on 7446 Ogans Avenue here in Philadelphia. Also want to remind everyone that on the 16th, this Saturday coming up, that there's also another event up in Chester, Pennsylvania at the City Hall Community Center. The event starts at 12 noon to 5 p.m. There will be entertainment. We have an international entertainment going on, Latino artists, African-American artists. It's going to be a phenomenal day. We want you to come out and support our efforts in trying to help to not reinvent the wheel, but to help to bring assistance to some of the youth and members of the city of Chester, Pennsylvania. Okay, now, we're hoping that Rabia is called in soon because we're going to move right on with our show. She said that she was going to make Salat. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and let the boys go ahead and read off Sister Rabia's bio, so that way when she comes online, we will already have went through this. So Zion is going to start off reading Sister Rabia's bio and what the Smart Inc. organization is.
Smart Inc. is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residential rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation
services to people suffering with addictions and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of additional relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to provide to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. Smart houses women and their children who are re-entering from the forensic system or that are in need of addition treatment.
Okay, Abdul, can you tell us what is their purpose?
Smart desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, or otherwise economically disadvantaged.
Wow, great. Now we want to welcome our guest, Sister Rabia Ahmed from the organization Smart Inc. Single mothers are really trying. Sister Rabia.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Good evening.
Wa alaikum salam, my sister.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It is such a pleasure to have you on, Sister Rabia. And we are so excited, and we want to hear all about SMART and the wonderful work that you are doing. As you just heard, we read off your wonderful mission statement and your purpose of the purpose of SMART, which is phenomenal, and the work that you're doing for the young women are phenomenal. So what we want to do, Rabia, we want to get right into the questions that the boys have for you, because as I said before, they really are tired and they want to disperse, and we want to continue the dialogue after we get a few questions in. So everyone be prepared to dial in. Once again, that number is 1-646-716-7994. Okay, Brother Zion, you want to go ahead and take that away. Greet the sister.
Hello, Sister Rabia.
Hello, dear. How are you?
Good.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Sister Rabia, why did you want to make a difference in the lives of women of abuse?
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to make a difference was because growing up, I grew up in Philadelphia, and it appeared that my parents' house was the house where everybody came to. You know, a lot of women that were abused, runaways, women that were having difficult times. And it seemed as if growing up that's what attracted was attractive to me, to have these women come and watch my parents help them. And then I started doing it. Actually, I was just reminded about a year ago that when I was about 17, one of my neighbors got suspended from school, and he was scared to tell his mother. And he reminded me that I took him back to school and said that I was his aunt or sister or somebody, and I was able to get him reinstated in school, and his mother never knew because he was going to be in serious trouble. And I forgot about that, and I was about 17 or 18 years old. So, you know, those are the kind – I had a runaway to come and stay at our house for 3 days. My parents didn't know she was up on the third floor hiding out in my bedroom. So just watching my parents do it, and over the years, I just adopted that same behavior and that same type of action.
Wow. Do you think that the smart... Assalamu alaikum, Sister Rabia.
Wa alaikum salam, dear.
It's a pleasure to have you on our talk show today.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
How are you?
My name is Abdul Shahid Porter, and I'm going to be asking you some questions. Question number one.
Okay.
Do you think that the smart really helps the woman and children? And if so, why do you think that?
Unfortunately, we can't help everybody. I wish that we could, but I know that there are some success stories that I do know of when the women, they come to my office or they'll call and they'll need some aid and counseling or housing or a job or whatever have you. And because we keep a tracking of a 2-year tracking record. So when they come, I make sure that for 2 years we stay in contact with the individuals that we provide services for. And most of the time they'll respond, they'll call back and they'll say, you know, Sister B, I found the job. So we were able to get some women in school to get their GEDs, and we're in contact with them. There are some women that we did get jobs for, you know, and they are in contact with us. They're contacted twice a month just to see if they're still working and how's everything going and do they need any additional assistance. So we know that it's working because of the feedback and because of the responses. And someone may call me or call one of my staff members and say, you know, y'all got my sister a job, and you know, you were able to help with my daughter. I want to know, can I get some help? You know, so when we hear stories like that, that motivates us. You know, that wow, this is really working. You know, some people are really getting some help, because if they didn't give us any feedback, then we really wouldn't know. But because of the feedback and responses that we get, we know that, you know, we are reaching somebody. You know, there was one young lady, she was 15, and she didn't want to go back to school. She came to my office for 3 days, and we all were talking, you know, talking to her, and she ended up going back to school, you know. And because of some other difficulties that she was having, we worked with the principal, we worked with the teachers, and, you know, so she'll be able to go to her right grade in September. So those kind of things let us know that, you know, that some of what we do is working.
That's great.
When did your organization start?
Actually, we got the name SMART in 1986. It was a friend of mine from Arizona, and she passed away a few years ago. Her name was Sophia. May Allah be pleased with her. She one day out of the blue, she asked me, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? This was 1986, and I told her, I want to help women. I want to help children. I want to, you know, provide some type of service to women that are out there struggling. She said, I know a name. And she says, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. So that stuck with me. Since 86, I've been building SMART, you know, doing fundraisers, We spent about 3 years making food for homeless people in Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia, giving out, when it was giving out the free food, we were very instrumental in giving out the free food and feeding the homeless and just doing little things like that, taking blankets downtown for the homeless people that were downtown. So it just built up from year to year since 1986 to where we are now.
What type of programs do you offer?
We offer parenting classes since we have a lot of young teens and young adults that are having children. We're providing parenting classes for them. We also provide drug and alcohol counseling to some of the women and some of the men. We do get men that are struggling with drugs and alcohol. We also do a reentry program for the women that are coming out of the prisons that have nowhere to go and that do not have any contact with any resources. So we help them as far as, you know, getting their birth certificate, getting their Social Security card. Some of them wanted their driver's license, you know, things like that that we take for granted. It's a big issue. Coping skills, we have a really nice coping skills program for some of the women that are trying to get acclimated back into the community and don't know how to cope with certain things. We also have a circle that we do twice a month, a support group for women to build up their self-esteem, you know, because coming out of prison and even coming out of dark places like drug and alcohol, you know, sometimes the women get beat down so bad that they don't love themselves anymore. So we build their self-esteem, you know, showing them, you know, how to love themselves so that they can love others.
Wow. She has such a beautiful spirit coming through the phone, doesn't she? you have all of us listening, and it's really interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's captivating. You all said captivating.
Japan alone.
Okay, that was really great. Now, this is the last question that the boys have for you, Rabia. Rain.
Okay.
What can the public do to help your efforts?
Actually, when you say public, I don't. As far as our operations,
He said he means people in general.
People are very supportive. We have some fundraisers, and people seem to come out to the fundraisers. They're very they come past the office. They'll drop off things. One lady bought a whole big bag of ladies' undergarments for ladies and children. One lady came by and bought, she said, I don't know if you could use these Pampers. She bought tons of Pampers and diapers over for the women that we serve. Somebody donated us cases of brand new shoes. And these are different people that's in the community that knows what we're doing, and they might not have monetary, you know, support. They might not have the money to support us, but they know what we're doing, and they're saying, you know, look, I have 20 brand new blankets, you know. And like I said, these are people that's in the community. Actually, there was a few people on several occasions that said, you know, I see you guys in this office all day, every day, you know, and they bought us lunch. You know, they said, you know, we don't even see y'all coming out the office, you know. So the community as a whole has been very, 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 very supportive. Even some of the women that we serve, they'll tell other women, you know, and, you know, they'll say, you know, why don't you go and visit Smart, see what they're doing. If you have anything you want to donate, you know, they take donations, and we even have donations that we give out, you know, some of our fundraisers. Some of the women didn't have tokens and trans passes, and we were able to provide them with tokens and trans passes so that they could go out and look for work. So the community of Chester has been, you know, very, very gracious, you know, and very, very helpful. As far as even with the newspapers, we've been in the Chester Spirit, I don't know how many times, in the Delaware Times, you know, several times, with the community, you know, coming out and supporting, you know, all that we do, because it's a pretty nice program. I'm pretty proud of it. Just the fact that when somebody comes back and they say, oh, you know, Mr. Dear, thank you, you know, that is the, you know, the gratifying part of what we do. You know, of course, it'd be nice if we had money and a lot of money and to do, you know, a whole lot of things, but just to see some people's faces when we give them a brand new pair of shoes, you know, that does something to the spirit.
Yes.
I'm great, Cry, so let me stop.
Great. So you did answer the question, because the question was, how can the community help? And you did tell us in reference to the way that community has helped thus far. So we want the community of Chester and the community abroad, those of you that are listening in, to continue to assist. And those of you that haven't, we know that times is rough. I know that at one time I was going to come out to the fundraiser, wasn't able to make it. They were doing a fundraiser on shoes. So you were doing a shoe sale, and everyone knows that I love shoes. So sure that we continue to get the word out, the boys are laughing, continue to get the word out about that Sister Rebea, and they're brand new shoes as well. So we want to know that that you're doing those type of fundraisers. We want to open the lines up because, as I said before, our young advocates would like to leave now. So if anyone has any questions for our young advocates, we ask that you do call now. If you have any questions for Sister Rebea, we ask that you give us a call now at 1-646-716-7994. That's 1-646-716-7994. And we're opening the lines up now for the next few minutes and see if the fellas get a call in, and then they will have to leave. Okay? Now, Sister Rebea, I want to ask you a few questions in reference to some of the programming that SMART renders to women. Now, this is not just women of color, is it? It's not just for women of color, it's for all women. Is that correct?
Yes. I thought that he asked me what has the community does, and he asked me what can the community do. I misunderstood that question.
You answered it pretty well. It's
oh,
part
okay.
of right. You answered
okay.
it very well.
Okay. No, we serve actually anybody that comes through our door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're a Muslim, Christian, atheist, white, black, Hispanic, Indian, you know, it doesn't matter. When they come for help or for some type of assistance, we are obligated to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
we don't turn any regardless of who it is. Yeah.
And when you're doing in reference to counseling women of addiction, one of the problems that we find in the community, the approach to recognizing and addressing women and men with addictive disorders. We all know that trying to, we all have friends or some of us have family members that are have been addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever the case may be, but addictive natures. And some call it a disorder. Some call it a, you know, that it's just, it's all right. It's just what people decide to do. How do you, once you get the men and women to submit to discontinue the addictive disorder behaviors, to stay on the right path, is there a preventive relapsing program that you offer, that you render to the individuals that are addicted to substance abuse and things of that nature?
Well, one of the things that we do is we do an assessment first when they come through the door. We have a there are three women that do the assessments, and sometimes I do them. And we find out through the assessments what their needs are, what their goals are, what their strengths are, weaknesses, their history of drugs and alcohol, and so on and so forth. And when we see that it's more serious for us to handle, we refer them to other agencies that are better equipped to handle whatever their abuse problem is. Like we're very much connected with community hospital, you know. So we do have women and men that come through our doors that have mental issues due to the drugs and alcohol, and some are just mental health issues that has nothing to do with drug and alcohol. So what we do is, like I was saying before, we track them. We stay in contact with them. If they need us, we go to some of their sessions with them. You know, we just don't send them somewhere or come in for one or two sessions and then, you know, just stop. We have two women on our team that are licensed therapists. So I don't have a license. I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, but I don't have a license. But we have licensed therapists on our team. So when, you know, after we do the assessment, we see that it's more serious. You know, that's when we bring them in. And like I said, we keep a track on them. We're always calling them. How you doing? Do you need anything? Everything is okay. And that, a lot of times, Sister Rashida, is just what people want. You know, that's what they need. They just want to know that somebody care about them. You know, the fact that when we call, they say, wow, I can't believe that you call on a Sunday. I'm calling you on a Sunday afternoon to check on you. And they really appreciate that. So at any given time, you know, we'll call, see how you doing, see if you need anything. And just that alone sometimes is what keeps people going, just to show that somebody loves them, that somebody cares for them. So that goes a long way.
Yes, it does. It really does. So basically you also give them that roadmap, and with the roadmap you also give them the resources and that support mechanism that so many women and people that are with addiction, what they lack. And this is where you find a lot of relapse come from, that lack of support or lack of where to go to get the information from. So I commend you on that, being that resource mechanism for the women that you serve and the men as well. That's great. Wonderful. People don't know, Rabia, that me and you go back a long, long way. Over 30-some-odd years, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
About, yeah, I think my son...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a baby when I met you. And
wow.
Got reconnected again after, what, 15 years recently?
Yeah.
And to
yeah,
find out...
Really long.
Yeah, to find out we both were... God placed us, the Lord placed us in Chester to do the work. I think the work that you are doing, and I was hoping that Jessica, your assistant, was able to call in. I was really expecting her to call in because I had some questions for Jessica as well. So I was expecting her to give us a call.
Jessica just texted me and said she was on her way back. She was moving today, and she started out pretty early so that she could get to the show. And
right.
You know how that is when you're moving. It's still she's
right.
not even home yet. So
well, we probably catch her right before we go off. Let me ask you something else here. Do you deal with the Latino community as well? Because I was looking at some of your information, and I did see that you do, render services to the Latino Spanish speaking community. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, our flyer or our brochure cards, we have them in Spanish and in English.
Okay.
And we do have a translator, so and she's still working on it, but a lot of the programs are in Spanish. Because we definitely did not want to leave out the Latino population, you know. There's a barrier there, and a lot of was found out that even with that community, that because of their culture, you know, that they don't like to expose certain things, you know. But because we do have a Latino interpreter and one that is a counselor, they feel more comfortable when they see us working as a unit. It's not all black, it's not all Latino, it's not all white, it's not all Muslim, it's not all Christian, you know, that they see a collaborative, you know, and they do feel the ones that we do have, it's not that many, but the ones that we do have, they do feel comfortable, you know, because they're able to express themselves, you know, amongst a group of women that have the same, going through some of the same issues as they are, and they're not looked down upon, you know.
Well, everyone, we're going to let Abdul and Zayin sign off. They're looking and they're getting tired. So say good night to Sister Rabia and Ms. Jackson and your listening audience.
Good night, dear. Thank you so much for having me on your show. This was a treat to me.
Thank you for coming. And good night, Jacqueline Taylor Adams.
Good night, sirs.
Good night,
young
sirs. I like to say goodnight to Ms. Jessica Taylor Adams and Ms. Rabia. It's been a pleasure to have Ms. Rabia on tonight on this nice evening, even though it's raining. And I'd like to thank Ms. Jessica Taylor Adams for the work that she has done for our talk show. And just goodnight to both of you and the audience.
Good night. Great.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
Good night. Get some rest.
Wonderful.
I didn't tell them to say that now. It wasn't scripted.
That's wonderful.
Okay, Sister Rivia, what we're going to do now we're going to take this down. This is the session that I call Grown Folk Talk. Now, with this session, we kick it just like we would do on the phone, and we're going to get a dialogue going. And one of the dialogues that I want to touch on this evening, beyond the domestic abuse and the addiction of the women, I also want to cover something that is really prominent in our community, and that's women of incarceration. And what's going on with our women that are let loose from the institutions and with no place to go, and what are the resources, and if they're not accessible to resources, what are some of the complications or problems in their lives that can occur? So we want to start off, Sister Rabia, of I didn't ask you to get this, so I didn't. I don't expect you to have numbers in front of you, but we need to know in reference to how serious this is, because it affects the whole family, not just the women. It also affects their children, their spouses, you know, distant family members. And then there are women that are also incarcerated because of domestic abuse. And how relevant is that? And what are the odds against them of coming out and being fruitful and prosperous members of society if there's no assistance out here for them? Because I know that the struggle that you're making and that you're having trying to keep smart afloat and trying to do the thing. So, I mean, in reality, and we're going to keep it real, what are facing with no funding and things of that nature, and what can we do?
One of the things, I'm going to go back to the first thing that you said, and I'm going to bring it forward, was that the women, and we're starting to get a lot of letters from women from Muncie and Cambridge Springs. Those are the two state prisons in Pennsylvania that are overpopulated. Since 2007, the prisons, 11, they have, the women's prisons have increased their population by 11%. And that's since 2011 to 2010. I mean, 2007 to 2010. You know, so that's in 3 years. I don't know what the stats are for 2012 yet. They probably won't come out until 2013.
Right.
They usually do like every 3 years or so. So, but I'm guessing that it's going to be pretty much up there. What we find though through some studies that I have done was that 63% of the women that are becoming incarcerated now is through drug dealing. Because what happens is they're selling drugs and they're using drugs because that's the lifestyle that they were used to, and then their boyfriend or their husband got locked up and they carried it on. So that's at like 63% is because of drug use, selling and using, you know. And then you have the ones who are just coming upon hard times, and they're going through abuse. And the abuse, it may have been like 20%, something like that, was because of domestic violence. But like I said, for 2013, those numbers are going to be, so I'm just curious to know what those numbers are going to be. You know, but the women are taking some of the roles of the men, because in the state of Pennsylvania alone, in our 24 state institutions, there are over 51,000 men, and it's over 90,000 with the 24 state institutions, and all of the, I think we have like 67 county prisons.
Wait,
so
back up. Sister Rabia, can you back up? Because you just you said that number a little too fast. Can you repeat? Because that number just is like blew my mind. Can you repeat that?
It's 50 out of the 24 state prisons. There are over 51,000 men, and out of the including with that, we have 67 counties. 67 county jails. And out of the 67 county jails, there are over 90,000 men incarcerated in the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, my.
Can you believe that?
No,
you know,
I cannot.
Over 90,000. I looked at the stats 2 weeks ago, you know, so it's really alarming. So what happens is that the women, we're forced to take on the roles of the men and providing for our families. So if this is what they're used to. They're their men were doing the bank robbing and selling the drugs, and they adapted that behavior. So that's why so many women, it's climbing. Those numbers are climbing for the women that's being locked up. They, matter of fact, they're talking about now. I was at a meeting today. They're talking about now opening up another female prison out there near Grapefruit.
Mm.
Because Cambridge Springs and Muncie is 200 inmates over their capacity. So they have to open up another state facility for women. So, and what we do is we try to change their way of thinking. When they come through our doors, we try to change their way of thinking, because if we change their way of thinking, their behavior will change. So we try to give them alternatives. You don't have to sell drugs. You can do this. Number one, have faith and trust in your creator, that he's going to help you. Next, put your foot forward, and just, even if it's washing cars, even if it's making cookies and selling them after school, whatever it is that you have to do that is legal that's going to keep your family together, we try to tell them it's more important that you keep your family together, because if you get locked up, you're going to jail, your husband is in jail, you're in jail, and your children are in the system. So what happens is that your children end up in jail. Over at SCI Chester Prison, we have four sets of four generations, of three generations, the grandfather, the father, and the son. We have four sets of three generations in prison. So I used to ask them, y'all in prison, who out there helping, who out there protecting your mother, your sister, and your daughter? It's a battle. We just have to just continue to fight. Continue to talk to them.
I like the idea of changing the mindset, because a lot of the young women and men are incarcerated because of bad decision making. Impulsive behaviors. And a lot of our, I know that the African-American community, we don't like to address certain issues, as you spoke on the mental health. And we really don't like telling our business that we're being abused, or our husband is whooping our, children are going through what they're going through. We are taught as African-American children, as children, don't tell your business, keep your business in the house. So a lot of times that when a lot of women are in dismay, or they're in despair being domestically abused, that it becomes a mental distress, and then they lash out and they may commit the crime of murder or what have you. We know that these situations happen. We have heard it about it. We've known those that have went through it, and I even have a girlfriend of mine that went through it as well, and she came close to killing her husband, and she spent time in jail, for attempted murder. But the whole thing was that he had been abusing her, beating her with chairs, and knives and things on her. But because of the fact that she had not reported these things and kept them to herself, then it came off like she was the aggressor, because she did not have the evidence or the documentation to document what was going on. And he, obviously was a monster. And a lot of the women feel, Rabia, that they can't get the help, because if they do go report it, the state and government is going to take their children. How do we get women to basically open up and express what's going on with them? A lot of the young girls are being molested and raped, and they think that because they go willingly with the guy or the guys, and it's okay. They're not going to report it because it's one of those things. I went willingly, and now they have developmental issues and begin to lash out on drugs or through cutting themselves, and then that puts them in situations as well. How do we combat situations like that when we meet different women that are going under those circumstances? And some of them may not, they feel uncomfortable about going to get the help. Like the young girl that I brought to you, a couple weeks ago, you know, out of her embarrassment why she's not reached, well, she's gotten herself into a program now where she goes tomorrow. But that initial thing of embarrassment, I saw it in her face. I saw it in her that caused her not to 100% reach out. How do you combat things like that?
One of the things, Rashid, is that we sometimes put ourselves in those predicaments, and so we have to make better choices.
Right.
You know, that when you know that, you know, you just met this guy, and then you going off somewhere with him, you don't even know him. You know, well, that right there, maybe you shouldn't go off with him and you don't know him. You met him and he has a baby face and he's saying all these sweet things, you know, but you don't know him, you know. So some of the times I think it's the choices that we make that we're not careful. And I was telling this to a few ladies. When you meet these guys, you know, you might want to do a background check, you know. And some of these background checks, it doesn't cost anything. You know, sometimes you might have to spend $20, but you might want to start doing some background checks, get a medical check, you know, because you're meeting these people. You don't know who they are. You don't know where they've been. You know, I know at one time I asked a brother, I need your Social Security number, you know, because I need to know that you are who you say that you are. I don't know if you're that person or not. So it's the nowadays, because so many things like that happen with the rapes and with the molestation and all of this abuse, you know, I think that we as women need to take a stand. You know, before I deal with you, brother, I don't care what you're saying, let me check you out. You
know, I watched the ID channel. I'm sure a lot of people watch the ID channel. And
I've never seen that before.
Oh,
the
man.
ID
you got to tune into the ID channel. Well, anyway,
okay.
I have never seen so many murderers and cutthroats and conniving, sneaky men. And from what I'm seeing, these men are telling these women things, and they're also covering up their little background. So they ask modern technology and computers, and it's just amazing to me the extent that they go through to get the women. But we're going to go on another subject, because I want to keep it on the reentry aspect, because I find that to be, because you know that's one of my interests, reentry, trying to services for, you know, mainly our young men. That's really where I'm at with it. And I want to get into that a little bit now in reference to incarceration of our young men and circumstances that they put themselves into. As you know, I've just experienced that with my son. And for mothers on either side of the fence, if you are the victim or the parent of the accuser or of the associate accuser. It's by our young men not making the right choices and not knowing the laws in which, as we say, know the laws of your land. They're not really knowing what these laws in the state of Pennsylvania, they're really tough here. And I don't think that a lot of our young people understand that one mistake can really cost you, some of them can cost the rest of your life. It can take 10 years off of your life. Some of them it can take 20 off your life. And you really don't have to be the one to commit the crime. You just happen to be the one to be there or to accompany them somewhere that you really, in lack of judgment, did not, you know, had no intention of doing so, but now you're wrapped up. How do we get our young people to understand the laws in which they live and to get them to understand that the choices that you make, whether we say the company, watch the company that you keep, to get them to understand the seriousness that if you commit a crime in the state of Pennsylvania, if someone commits a crime and you are associated with the crime as far as conspiracy, then more than likely you're going to get, you know, if you're not going to get the exact time that the person that committed the crime got, you're going to get very close to that. And I don't think that people really understand how important that is. Can you elaborate on that? And I know by you working in a prison, you have ran into so many situations like that with young men and women coming into the prisons, and they're just, they say, wow, you know, I didn't do it, but hey, wrong place at the wrong time, and the law has demanded because on the books that you get 20 years.
Yeah, they, I know one of the things is that when our boys are growing up, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them are not exposed to people who is pushing education, you know, and I think that that is one of the, that's one of the downfalls is that, you know, we have to push education. We have to expose them to different things, you know, and not just say, okay, this is where you live 22nd and Lehigh, and that's all you know, without taking them out and exposing them to different things. You know, listening to some of the stories from the men that were in prison, Rashida, a lot of them said the same thing. Well, this is all I knew. I didn't know no other way to live. This is what my father did. This is what his father did. I didn't know about, you know, going to the Poconos. I didn't know about horseback riding. I didn't know about getting a bachelor's in law and bachelor's in education. And I found a lot of the men that were in prison had a lot of different skills, but they didn't know how to implement those skills. You know, they was able to do it in prison because they had the time, you know, but we have to educate them. You know, we have to give them the resources. We got to take them out of places, and then we have to be consistent, you know, because once we're consistent with it, you know, there are there's a less chance that they're going to go to prison, but we have to show them a way. Sometimes you have to give them, some people say, I'm only giving you one chance, or sometimes this person might need 10 chances, you know, until they get it, you know. But we have to sometimes, stretch you to take them by the hand and say, you know what, this is what happens if you do this. This is what happens. I'm going to show it to you again. I'm going to show it to you again, you know, and let's take a ride up to the Poconos. Let me show you about horses. You know, there was a gentleman in prison. He made doll houses out of, he used paper and some kind of, not popsicle sticks, toothpicks or something else he was using, but he made doll houses. And until this day, he's been out about 6 years now, and he has his own business. He makes doll houses and charges $300 or $400 for each one. So he actually made a business, and we were talking, we helped him with a business plan, everything while he was in prison, and now he's doing really well. You know, he's doing really good for himself. You know, so you have those type of stories, but it's up to us. You know, as the mothers, the sisters, the neighbors, you know, to teach them and to teach others how to teach them. Because if they don't be, you know, if they don't get taught, you know, Sister Rashida, how are they going to know? Somebody has to teach them. And it just may be a lot, you know, the women being the more nurturer, you know, one, it may have to be us, you know, but somebody has to do the teaching. You know, take them to, that's why one of the things that we're doing tomorrow at the Boys and Girls Club with the FBI is showing, they want to show and say, you know what, some you could be an agent and it's cool. You could be a forensic worker and it's cool. You could work in a funeral home and you could work and be a detective, and these are cool jobs that'll keep you, you know, out from prison and taking care of yourself and your family. So here it is. We are going to give you different decisions, different entities where you could pick from and say, you know what, I think I might like this. You know, mm-hmm. So your vision won't be so tunneled. You won't just be concentrating on one thing, because there's some skilled men and women in the prisons, but we have to give them we have to educate them. We have to be consistent with them. We have to teach them, because some of them, a lot of them, Sister Rashida, that way, that criminal way of life, that's all they know,
mm-hmm.
until they're taught something different.
So, and then some of them, it's not that that's all they know, because some of them are very intelligent. Like we spoke to
mm-hmm.
different brothers, like you know, Ted Sutton and different individuals, Brother
mm-hmm.
Nancy,
mm-hmm.
that have been incarcerated. Very, very smart brothers, and the street didn't
rape.
Yeah. They had good families, good mothers, good fathers. It's something about the draw, the excitement of there that's gathering our young people. And it can be the wisest ones that make the wrong choices and lead them up the wrong path. When we speak of educating them, I also believe that as we're educating, we also, like I said, we also have to educate our young men and women on the laws of their land. Because if you don't know the consequences of what could possibly happen to you, beyond just being, you know, caught by the police, beyond just, you know, having to go to court and trying to get a good attorney, but beyond that, that your life could be ruined, and all depending on what crime it is and how long you stay into jail, you know, the whole scenario of it. So there's a whole range of, I feel, of education. Because I can't agree with that a lot of them weren't taught, because I know for a fact that mine was taught. And it still comes down to a lot of it being the choices that you make, who you choose as your friends, who you choose, they
mm-hmm.
call their partners, and what do you value? You know, I think that a lot of the young men and women, they have lost value. I know that when we were coming up, our children kept us straight. You know, they kept us doing certain things and from doing certain things because you
mm-hmm.
had a child. But now it's like they don't care about the children, don't care about what mama going to think, about what daddy
mm-hmm.
thinks. And that type of mentality, I think that we have to try to go in a little deeper, because to continue to say that our young people aren't educated, I think this is a misconception. They're very well educated. Maybe it's the lack of understanding that they're not getting. As we go into education and we go into reading dialogue and our logbook, it has a part in there where you go for reading comprehension. So I think that they're reading the writing on the wall, but they're not comprehending it accurately. So then when they get in these bonds and these situations, you know, they're shocked the way that the situation has turned out, because they did not comprehend the law.
Mm-hmm.
They were told that if you do X, Y, and Z, you're going to get in trouble. It may cost you your life, but the reality of it hasn't sunk in. And then we're dealing with our young people now. We're dealing with the drugs and the extreme alcohol drinking,
mm-hmm.
the drug of choice is this drug called WET. We know it as the old angel dust, but now they're putting something else in it that's making you come out your clothes. Young brothers are shooting one another, and they're doing this where they're aiming for the head. And I've seen it around here in my neighborhood you know, men and women, young women running down the street butt naked, and they're all wet. I have seen the young men on pills, staggering, can barely stand up. Do they remember what happened the next day? They don't remember. So we have a serious epidemic, I think, in our communities that no one is addressing with our young people. And there are beyond, and we're not even talking about the STDs that your organization cover as well. We know that that's still running rampant and no one's speaking on it. There's a lot of issues in our community, and this is why, Sister Rabia, that I'm so glad that you have joined in with the NECC to collaborate with us to bring in the community building, the capacity building of a collaborative effort that we can be an international movement to help and assist others and to, like I say, I always say I never want to reinvent the wheel. I just want to enhance it. So we can enhance those and share our resources and our information with others. I think that we can make a world of a difference. I know that you're making a world of a difference in the lives of the women that you service. I know that you are waiting on housing for some of the women, which is phenomenal. And with budget cuts and no one wanting to assist, I would like to extend an invitation to our listening audience, because this show will be posted constantly, and I'm going to make sure that I continue to post it, that if anyone wants to reach out to you to lend up assistance, new items, I would prefer, coming from the flip side, that you send new items, whether it be underwear, socks, like she said, Pampers, and things of that nature that would help a woman to basically get on her foot to call and lend your assistance. Like she said, it doesn't have to be monetary. You can go out and pick out the stuff yourself and send it off. You know, you can do that. Some people are funny about giving money, and that's okay. We don't take that personal because we understand. But you also can go, while you're picking up yourself a pair of underwear, you can pick up another woman a pair of underwear. You're picking up
your shirt,
then pick up a baby another T-shirt. These are things that you can do to assist and help as well. So, Sister Rabia, you want to give out your website as well as your email address and a telephone number where you can be reached.
Yes, absolutely. Please visit the website. It's www.smart, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, R as in Rich, T as in Terry, -2-change, C as in Cat, H as in Harry, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, G as in Gary, E as in everybody.org. So that's smart, www.smart-2-change.org. And the email address is smart2change@yahoo.com. That's smart2change@yahoo.com. And our telephone number is 484-905-2027. That's 484-905-2027. But please visit the website, because the website will show things that we have done in the past, and you can see me, you can see the staff. It even have on there, if anybody wants to volunteer, we have the volunteer applications. I think you'll like the website. Is very, very informative. We also have a reentry section. It's a lot of things on the website, you know. And then if you have any questions about anything, you know, always feel free to call, feel free to email. I usually check my email. I try to check it at least 3 times a day. Some days I'm not able to get to it until at nighttime. you know, but I do check it pretty often.
Okay, great. Great. That is so wonderful. It has been a wonderful, wonderful interview, Sister Rebia. Really do appreciate you and your efforts. And we want to remind everyone once again that there will be an event at the Chester Community Center at City Hall in Chester, Pennsylvania, from 12 to 5 p.m. We're going to have entertainment, R&B, hip-hop, Latino music involved. And there's also going to be a meeting of the minds. We're also going to be doing a awareness fundraiser for one of the young men in Chester by the name of Shaquille Smith. And we had Shaquille on the show a few months ago speaking about his incident where he was shot and paralyzed from the neck down. And he's interested in getting some STEM research as well as shots. And that's going to cost his father. Yeah, so we want to bring about awareness to him, for him, and his plight, and to hope that we can help him and his foundation get started, because he does have a Shaquille Smith Foundation already that him and his mom started together for him. And he would really like to receive the shots as well. This was a good young man, high school student on the basketball team, was not about crime or violence, went to a party. Argument broke out with some of his friends and another young man, and when they left the party, they thought everything was okay. The young man came back shooting in the crowd and shot him. Then the young man has never been found or caught, so he has taken his life and all his anger, and he goes and he speaks to the young people in the city of Chester about gun violence. So we want to assist this young man in the city of Chester as well. And the work that we're doing there, as I said before, is to assist, not to reinvent anything or the wheel. So we wanted to mention that. And there's someone else that I want to, two other people I want to mention, well, three people, that I want to give shout-outs to, Sister Rebia, and that would be my son, also known as Roscoe Chain, and I am so blessed that Allah made a way for you, and that you have came out, victorious, as to be expected. Thank God that the situation that was at hand, you had no part but guilty by association. So as a mother, I am pleased to say that you had no part in that madness, but choices that we make, you still have to pay the cost, but I am thankful that it didn't go the way that we anticipated. And I am so grateful to his, one of the best attorneys in the world, as far as I'm concerned, Brother Tariq Shabazz, here in Philadelphia. He is the best, and I send my shout-outs to him. And another young man that I just spoke with the other day as well, Mr. Pharrell Williams, the producer, music guru. I want to thank him for all of his support for my son and my family. He is a phenomenal brother, and I just want to extend the shout-outs to the three of them, as well as my mother, Rosie Porter. I want to extend a warm shout-out to her and love, and to all the members of the NECC. I want to send a shout out to you guys and to thank you for all your support, and to let you know that we are putting on our working boots and we're going in and to do the work that God has bestowed upon us to do. So what we're going to do now, we're going to take a minute because when we come back, I'm going to close out. And I don't know if Jacqueline has a piece by the artist Liberty. Thank you. Or if she has something by Miss Betty's son. I would like to take, Rebia, I don't want you to go anywhere because we're going to close out the show in a few minutes. But I want to take a little breather And because I want to come back and touch on something. So, Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, could you take us into a just a few-minute break with one of the songs, Thank You by Liberty, or either a piece by Miss Betty Sun?
Like every other kid in the hood. The last time this boy cried, when he woke up one morning, realized he was a fatherless child. Daddy never there, showed him no love. Learned to emulate thugs, bust slugs with the intent to kill. Ran these streets, hide in the cable bill. Paranoid because these streets are stressing him. His motto, ain't nobody getting the best of him. Round these parts, drug wars make the guns spark. Triggers ain't got no heart. Women are hoes, kids in the way. God, that's just the word in the Bible. They pray for death on their rivals. Out here, nobody cares. You can smell genocide in the air. From the corners, the kids gave birth to crackheads and chicken heads. They were misled by some fathers' old heads. They learned to cop reeks, work off the reekers. They went to war with the dredge. Better off dead, it was this old lady said. She spoke truth to power. In his darkest hour, they closed his casket at 19. Rest in peace, t-shirts, laced his whole team. His mother crying, dressed in black. Searched the church, front to back. Even on this day, a daddy he lacks. You're a self-exiled monarch from your castle and home. Making you a king without a throne. Making your son a prince without a crown. Look at him now, he lived and died a fatherless child. And this must be supported karma. Like Sonia Sanchez being my father's baby mama. So you see my dad thinking for me, but give me this gift indirectly. Top 5 dead alive wordsmith in hip-hop, R&B, or poetry. So if you think you'll outright me, forget it. And you can take that to heart like God said it. Maybe when I'm going to give me credit, but right now, I'm that boy you want that boy. I'm like Langston Hughes on steroids. The lines are a shot, my little girl, little boy. Better father than my daddy ever was. And if poetry's a drug every day, I be taking it in the head and blowing the bag. And it's seeping out my soul to you. Sit next to me, might catch a contact. But I wish poetry was a female. So I could dive in face first. Put my mouth when she gives birth. Grab her by hair, slap her on the backside and ask her, whose poetry is this? She say it's yours, daddy. And 9 months later, she'll make me happy. Give me 2 miracles. I name one wordplay, the other lyrical. Just so I can walk up to people and say, did you see my lyrical wordplay? Never had a daddy, but I always had poetry. So I gotta thank God for giving me this literary style. And maybe this makes us even. For me growing up, a fatherless child.
Okay, we're back to the flip side, and we had a wonderful, wonderful guest, Ms. Rabia Ahmed from the organization Smart Inc., and that means single mothers are really trying. And Sister Rabia, I want to commend you for really trying, because Sister, you work hard at trying to do this work, so I commend you on that. And thank you very much for being our guest. On the flip side, you are a phenomenal sister, and may Allah continue to bless you and your efforts.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Sister
Rashida.
And I want
to that. To your dad as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Huh? You want to say that again?
To your dad. I wanted to give a shout out to your dad. You know, and your wonderful family.
But I'm gonna have to say that you are the phenomenal one. That all of the work that you're doing, I feel like I'm a reflection of you. You know, mm-hmm. that you do you do fantastic work, and I know sometimes you don't feel up to it. You know. But you still keep it moving, you know, and making sure that the radio show goes on, make sure that the show goes on, making sure that you still provide things, services and support to the young generation, you know, and population that you serve and that you help, you know. So I think that, and I'm the one that is really honored that that NECC would have us, you know, collaborating, you know, for all of the fine work that is going on, you know, because it's much needed. It's much needed.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, thank you for that, Sister Rabia. And once again, I want to give a shout-out to my son, Amin Roscoe. I love you very much, and God is good all the time, and Allah has showed you mercy, my son. So we want to make sure that we connect you with Sister Rabia when you get out.
Yes, absolutely.
Continue to make the right choices in your life. And as I said before, I am so blessed that Allah showed me what I needed to see in, for myself that I could begin the healing process, because I was held a prisoner within myself for the last 3 years, not knowing. And I feel so great knowing that my son is not a murderer, that he did not commit a murderous crime. But as I said before, because association. And this is what I want the young men to see out of my son's experiences, that you have to be careful who you associate yourself with and the past and the walk that you direct your feet with and the things that you touch and what comes out of your mouth, because Allah hears you and the other entities hears you as well. And we are held accountable for the things that we do, and sometimes we're caught and chastised for not what we have done at that time, but what we have done before. And I'd rather get my here on earth than to receive it in paradise. So I wish everyone well. Sister Jacqueline Taylor Adams, you are a phenomenal, phenomenal sister. I tell everyone, this is marketing queen. If you need any marketing, you need PR work, listen, you have to check out Sister Jacqueline Taylor Adams. And you can go on the Facebook, Key and Jack Patella Adams. You can go on the Master Griot, radio.com. I mean, she's all over the place, and she is phenomenal. Jacqueline, we appreciate you. To Zayn and Abdul, I love you. You are phenomenal brothers. And to my family and all the NECC and all the precious, precious babies and children and oppressed of the world, my prayers go out to you, and a change is definitely going to come. We tune out. We will see you next month, the second Tuesday of each month, on the flip side. We love you.
Yeah, yeah. LGE. Watch out over the now. Follow us on Twitter. LGE movement. Life. Giving. Energy. Long awaited mixtape. Let's go.
I think I'm Amy G. Amy God, Queen of Fools. Liberation. Hallelujah. One aim. One God. Real sisters in the soap. I think I'm Amy G. Amy God, Queen of Fools. Liberation. Hallelujah. One aim. One God. Real sisters in the struggle, repping for the cause. I think I must be. Who? An ancient ruler. Who? Soul sister. Who? Hallelujah. One aim. One God. Real sisters in the struggle, repping for the cause. Representing for my queen, so many dough. Bringing knowledge to my people who just didn't know. And Yamache, that's my first name. Liberation running in my biggest name. Unify, we trying to build a nation. We build it ground up, we doing renovation. Watching royalty, my sister, I am irritated. We take a stand, cause no longer will we be the greatest. Culture ties up, where my sisters at? Where my queens rapping, where my mama's at? I got that hurry of coming, plus I love being black, damn for the summer. I think I'm Amy G, Amy God, Queen of Fools. liberation. Hallelujah. One aim, one God. Real sisters in the struggle, repping for the cause. I think I must be who? An ancient ruler. Who? Soul sister. Who? Hallelujah. One aim, one God. Real sisters in the struggle, repping for the cause. No longer.